And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good evening, everybody. You're listening to WDCR 88.9, 96.5, and this is The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, your Cradle Catholic.
And I'm Mark Barthelemy, your Convert Catholic.
Hey, Mark, it's windy and cold today. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. I thought at first, you know, I was losing my sight because of all the white flurries that were going on out there.
Well, you know, when you think about it, I think this is like the second snow of the year. And we're midway through February, and I haven't even busted out the snow shovel. No. So I can't complain about that.
I busted them out of the shed this year. Usually I forget them, and I have to wade out up to my waist to the
yard.
Well,
one thing I
can
complain about is on Facebook, all of my friends are in Florida. I keep getting all these shots from the beach, and you know, everybody's enjoying Florida.
It's 80 here today. Don't you love that?
What are we missing?
I don't know. I said money. We're retired public servants. We're missing money.
Well, you know, all of our friends that are in Florida have the ability to attend Mass in Florida.
Yes.
And Mass is the same in Florida today on Fat Tuesday as it is here.
Is that right?
The church is universal. And the thing about the universality of the church is that no matter where you are or where you go, Catholics can attend a Mass. And I think it's amazing when you think about that right now at this moment in time, there are Masses being celebrated somewhere in the world.
True.
In every language, mm-hmm. in every country, mm-hmm. every time zone, there's a Mass being celebrated in this world, a Catholic Mass.
And the same Mass.
Yeah, and that's the neat part about it is that we're still able to participate in that Mass no matter what state, what country, what time zone, what language that the Mass is being celebrated.
Well, look at it, the Communion of the Saints. They're celebrating with us, too.
Yeah, exactly. And I know personally I've been to Masses, of course, in Latin. As a kid, that's what they call were. I've been to Mass in Quebec City in French.
Yeah.
Obviously in Rome, Mass was in Italian.
Right.
And I recently attended, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, about a Mass in Spanish.
Ooh.
And the thing I like about it is if you know the Mass well enough, and most of us that go on Sundays know the Mass well enough that to know the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist.
Right.
And we know our prayers in English. And so it's really pretty easy to follow along, even a Mass in a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
This Sunday, I attended Mass at Our Lady of Lourdes.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me you went to Mexico. I was waiting to hear about your trip.
I'm waiting for the Pope to call me. He wanted me to meet him down there.
Did he really?
Yeah, I was.
Get a picture,
okay.
A selfie or something, and send it to me.
Because
otherwise, I'm not believing you.
So I went to this Mass, and it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Before Mass at Lourdes, there was a band, a guitar band, kind of all like almost with the mariachis and all that.
Wow.
Playing music before Mass to get everyone in the celebratory mood of Mass.
Really?
It was really awesome. And there was five or six singers in this band, and they got everybody, you know, pretty much fired up before Mass started.
That's interesting.
Now, Father Richard Welton, the pastor at Our Lady of Lourdes, is not only fluent in Spanish, he's conversational.
Wow.
You know, so that means that not only do you speak the language, you understand it, and you can converse in it, and people that are conversational in the language think the language.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, that's one of the things I wondered about was a homily. I mean, you would have to be, I guess, to deliver a moving homily. You'd have to be conversational.
People that are conversational in other languages think in that language.
Right.
Now, see, I know some Spanish, but I have to take the English and convert it in my head to Spanish before I say it.
Yes.
And that's where I get in trouble because then after I ask the question, somebody talks back to me in Spanish.
Five times the speed.
Yeah, and I'm clueless.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm clueless. You know, when we were on the police department, we were given a Spanish class for police officers that taught us how to ask questions that required a simple yes or no answer.
Yeah.
And then I think we also had a phrase where we told them, you know, slow down, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because, you know, trying to listen to another language, I know lots of words and stuff, but when it gets conversational on you.
But a lot of that's not applicable. I mean, put your hands up, you know, stop, that kind of stuff. I mean, they're rarely in a conversation do you have a chance to use it.
Yeah. So I did a little research on our local Hispanic community, and Decatur, the city of Decatur, is about 2.5%.
Right.
Hispanic speakers, I guess, or Hispanic what's the word I'm
ethnicity?
Ethnicity. Very good. Less than 1% of the businesses in Decatur are owned by Hispanics. And I've probably been to all of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them are the Mexican restaurants that I love.
I love to eat.
And that brings me to part of the reason I went to that Mass Sunday was it was for the repose of the soul of one of my good Mexican friends.
No kidding.
Yeah, Raul Sestacia's father, Baltazar, passed away last week in Mexico.
Oh, in Mexico. I was going to say, I didn't know.
Yeah, and Baltazar was here 15 years ago and had open-heart surgery at St. John's.
Oh, no kidding.
So I'd met him several times.
Well,
and he would
bought
come
him
to
15 years then.
Yeah, he would come to the restaurant and work and help out.
Wow.
So I knew him, and when Raul told me of his passing, you know, I wanted to have a Mass said
for him. Sure, that's great.
And so that's what kind of drove me to go to the Mass and experience this
good
different
for you.
Way. A high, high percentage of the Hispanic population are Catholic. Very high.
Right,
very
right,
high.
Right.
So at this Mass, I would guess there were over 100 people participated in Mass.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing to me was that the majority of the people at this Mass were teenagers or younger.
Wow.
The church was full of young people.
Really?
Yes. And they sang and they prayed. They went to communion. Father had three servers. Two of them were very small, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And then an older boy that was helping serve. And they were very involved in participating in the Mass itself.
Wow.
And it was just a joy to behold when I went to communion, the kids, even the ones that couldn't receive, went through the line, you know, and got the blessing.
Right, right.
And I'm guaranteeing you it was more than 50% were kids.
Well, let me ask you this. Did anybody, when they were taking communion, get down on their knees and take it on the tongue?
I did not see that.
Okay.
I did see a lot of them take it on the tongue.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't see any people kneel.
I just noticed there's a lady that goes to my parish, and she does that. At communion.
Well, you know, the Filipino population do that. That's their common way of receiving is on their knees and on the tongue.
Huh.
So I also was able to pick up a missal called the Missal del Dia, which is the Mass of the Day.
Oh, okay.
So I could follow along with the Spanish, responses. And I knew what the gospel was. I picked up the English version of the gospel and read along with Father as he did it in Spanish. The other thing that I thought was interesting was when Mass was over, they played another song, the band played another song, and the people weren't in a big hurry to get out and leave. They stayed around and they talked and shook
hands. You
mean
they stayed till the end of Mass?
Oh, absolutely.
And nobody cut anybody else off in the parking lot trying to get out?
They stayed after Mass. They talked. They laughed. Father Welton was out there and greeted most of them, and it was... It reminded me of when I went to church as a kid.
Yeah.
When the families were there and everybody knew each other.
Yeah.
Everybody at this Mass seemed to know each other.
Well, I'm sure.
And that's one thing about our Mass is I sit around the same people week after week,
right.
And I'm not so sure I know them. Now that we have a picture book, it helps.
That's where I learned a lot of names, that pictorial directory. Yeah. But I try and call everybody I can by their name.
But I just found it really insightful that I was able to attend Mass in a foreign language, and it still meant the same thing to me.
Yeah.
I still received the same body and blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I understood the message. I asked the Holy Spirit a couple times to help me to understand a little better. I had trouble with the homily, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Because Father Rick was talking to his group at Mass.
And let me ask you this. Were you looking at faces to see how they were receiving what he was saying?
Yeah, I was.
And, I mean, did you see anybody snoozing, or did you see, like any kids had trucks and were running them up and down the pews?
No, I did notice the cry room. There was a pretty good crowd back there.
Yeah, sure.
But the people at the Mass itself during the homily were very intent on listening to Father.
Boy, that's good.
And, it's more of a fraternal group, and what Father says goes. And,
oh, yeah.
And the men are there at Mass, and so the kids behave.
Yeah, that's true.
The Hispanic population in the United States, as I've heard, said it may be the future of the Catholic Church.
Right.
Because they do go to Mass, and they do contribute, and they do participate, and that's a good thing for us to look at and emulate.
Yeah, sure is.
So I'm glad I went.
Me too.
And
that was interesting.
I got to say some prayers for my friend's father. I think I need to pull out the USCCB's policies recommendations on immigration reform and do a little review on that. It's on the news all the time. They're always talking about some sort of comprehensive immigration reform.
Right.
But God doesn't see lines on the earth, you know. And when you people fleeing a country because of persecution, whether it's in the Middle East or whether it's the southern border of the United States, the majority of them are looking for help. They're looking to get away from oppression. They're looking for work. And unfortunately, there are some that come across that are selling guns and selling drugs, and then we paint with a broad brush. God doesn't paint with that broad brush, you know.
Right.
And God doesn't see that there's a line in the sand out there between the states.
Mm-hmm.
These are our Christian, Catholic fellow brothers and sisters that we need to pray for, and we need to pray for a solution, a good solution for our country and for Mexico to come to some sort of understanding on immigration and on trade.
Right.
And so I'm not going to go out and editorialize on this. I don't know enough about it,
really.
I just know that we need to be loving of those people that come here with good intentions.
Yes.
And we need to do our best to help them in what fashion that we can, because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, we'll think about that for just a minute, and we'll hear a Just a Minute Father from Father Nick Hussein. We'll be right back.
All right, I'll be here.
The power of the word enough. We live today in a consumer-driven world, a world where needs are created and wants are heightened. In such a culture, the word enough every so often has negative connotation of being limited, inadequate, or even failure to come to par. The holidays are now sitting in our porch and front yards. While this is a season when our wants and desires are heightened, it is also the best opportunity to practice and learn to appreciate the power of the word enough. One way to achieve this is to cultivate a culture of gratitude. Being grateful means focusing not so much on what you have as much as the fact that what you have came to you as a gift from yourself, from others, and from God. It is okay to realize you have enough. The more you realize you have enough, the more you can be grateful.
All right, we're back here on The Cradle and the Convert with Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy. And in this segment, Mark, I want to talk a little bit about tips for parenting adult children.
Oh, okay.
You got adult children?
Yeah, but I don't think they're beyond the parenting stage.
Well, I don't think they ever are.
No. Oh, really?
You know, no. Well, they might be on the spanking stage. But
well, definitely. And my baby's past 30, so, you know,
does
and they grow up from there.
Does your mom have an adult child?
I believe she does.
Yeah, I believe she does, too.
Last time I checked, she did.
He's not beyond getting spankings, as far as I can tell.
Certainly not. Yeah. I certainly deserve them, whether I get them or not.
Well, this information I want to share with you is from the National Catholic Register, the Family Matters section, written by Teresa Doyle Nelson, and it's called Tips for Parenting Adult Children.
Hmm.
You know, even though our children are grown and out of the nest, they still look to us for guidance and they look to us for example.
Yeah.
And we need to keep that in the back of our minds all the time that what we're doing, our kids are watching, even though our kids are, you know, in their 20s or 30s or whatever.
Are you trying to tell me that's part of parenting,
period? Yeah, it doesn't stop once you get them out of the nest.
I didn't know that was part of the initial plan. Maybe that's
well,
I should have read a book on, do they have one for retroactive parenting?
Get your pencil out and take some notes.
All right, I'm ready.
Here's a few tips from this article on how to parent adult children. Number one, cultivate the art of listening.
Okay.
Listen to your kids. Listen to what they're saying. Don't just hear the words and don't think about what you're going to be doing later in the day while your son or daughter is talking to you. Listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're asking for advice. Sometimes they're just venting. Sometimes they want your opinion, and other times it's the farthest thing from their mind. They're wanting to tell you their opinion, and they want you to listen.
I see.
Now, one way of listening to your kid, too, is to use that trick that the psychologists use, silence. You know, when you ask them a question or they're talking to you and you know they want to say something, just be quiet. Nobody likes that pregnant pause, so they call it. And if you're talking to somebody, and I know you know this as a detective when you were one back what, in the 50s, that, you know, if you've got a guy on the edge of telling you something important,
right,
you need to be quiet.
Oh, yeah.
And let him let it out.
Yeah.
And so that silence can be important. Instead of filling every second with talk, jibber jabber,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
People don't like that silence. And the other person you're talking to will usually break that silence.
Yeah,
and they'll tell
true.
You something that's important. Hmm. So listen, cultivate the art of listening. Speak up when needed is number two.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad, I don't know if they would speak up if my hair was on fire. I don't have any hair. But, you know, they've been great parents, and they have never tried to tell me what to do.
Right.
And maybe sometimes I needed a little fraternal correction or maternal or paternal correction when it came to some of the issues in my life that I didn't handle.
I think you definitely did. I got a list of those in my little book.
Yeah, there's some of them in there. But with our kids, you know, we need to speak up. We need to keep the dialogue going about important topics, and we need to, you know, we used to always tell young cops, I don't know why we always talk about cops, I guess that's all we know.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't jump
experience.
In on their detail, on the job
right,
you're handling,
right.
unless they're going to do something that's going to get somebody hurt or killed.
Yeah,
let them make the mistakes. You learn from your mistakes.
Right.
But in this case, there's times when you need to speak up.
Yeah.
And the same thing with our kids.
Hmm.
Small gestures of kindness can reap great rewards. When you go over to the kid's house to see your grandkids or whatever, take a little bouquet of flowers or a little box of chocolates or just a little something, a hostess gift, just to let them know that you care, and that will mean the world to them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, and it's something you don't think about.
No.
Just something small, a small gesture of kindness.
I'm thinking they ought to be supporting me, not me giving to them. So,
yeah, you know what? In a few years when you're in the nursing home.
Oops.
Yeah, remember, they're going to pick where you're going to be living.
Ooh,
so
yeah, I need you to, might, let me write that down.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's the only thing I've written down so far.
Keep family get-togethers simple. The less complicated the family event, the fewer opportunities there are for arguments or, you know, that type of thing, politics, that sort of stuff. So keep them simple.
Yeah,
my son's new wife, her family, they play all kinds of games, and you know, card games,
board games,
and they have fun and they share and they laugh and it's really neat to see, something that we never did in my family, but now that little bit of history or tradition is beginning to come over to my side of family.
Really?
I kind of like it.
Hmm.
Humbly expect differences, you know, humbly. Mm-hmm. Expect differences. Of course we expect differences. We've raised our children to be the best that we could raise them to be.
Right.
There comes a point in time when they are going to do their own thing. They're going to have differences in what our opinions are.
Well, you know, that's an important one, Dave, because I think as parents, not out of egotism, but just thinking, hey, we survived adolescence and childhood and early adulthood, so model after me. And I think, you know, if they start going a different direction, you're going, you know, what did I do wrong? This isn't what I taught them. It's not necessarily the end of the world.
Right.
You know, but I think that's an important one.
A simple analogy. You're a Cardinal fan.
Yeah.
You got a daughter that's a Cub fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
And three grandkids and a husband.
Yeah, so there are differences there. They're not bad people because they're Cub fans, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I hate to say what you think about me being a Dodger fan.
Yeah, well, we've been there and done that.
I mean, that's just something. A difference in a real small sort. You know, some of our children go off and join other denominations
and don't stay
with the church. That sort of thing.
True.
So there's going to be differences politically.
Right.
You know, these kids today, the millennials in particular, they think that recycling is more important than just about anything.
Yeah.
I read yesterday that millennials think that not recycling is a bigger sin than watching pornography.
Holy cow.
So, I mean, expect differences, and you just have to try to be open to it because, well, that porn is everywhere.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that in next month on a show.
Good. I've got a lot to say about that.
Number six, embrace those grandchildren. They love your attention.
Yeah.
You know, and what you do makes a profound influence on your grandchildren.
Hmm.
My grandmothers and grandfather, to this day, I think about them a lot. And I think about the lessons that they taught me and their generosity. And you talk about unending love for grandkids. Yeah, it's just great. So embrace those grandkids. That helps. That's just another tip for parenting your adult children. The traditions of the Catholic Church offer more insights into enriching parenting adult children. And number one is pray. Remember, God has more control than we ever will, so hand it off to him. Mothers that are struggling with children, St. Monica.
Yes,
the
indeed.
The patron saint of mothers that struggle with children.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Augustine was quite a rounder in his day.
And her husband, for crying out loud. I mean,
he converted on his deathbed. Yes, and, of course, did. Augustine's a doctor of the church. So
that's right.
Don't ever give up on him. Pray. Pray for him. Seek the saints. St. Joseph, the patron saint of fathers.
Yep.
St. Louis and Zélie Martin. You know who they are. Mm-hmm. They're the parents of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. So they're a guide for a family of prayer. So, you know, there's lots of saints out there that we can also ask for intercession when it comes to helping us guide our kids. Bring your troubles to the church. Listen carefully to the readings and the homily. There's a good chance you'll discover new insight during one of those homilies that will help you with a family problem. Important one. Evangelize discreetly. You know, once your children have reached adulthood, they're going to start making decisions for themselves.
Sure.
And, of course, we want to try to continue to guide them into the Catholic Church, to remain in the church.
Right.
But preaching to them, they'll find to be insulting and intrusive.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter, I went off to college and came back more or less as an agnostic, and I gently try to push her back to church, but I know the harder I push, the more push back I'll get.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I walk back the evangelizing to her, but so I try to live it, you know, and let her see the example.
Right.
And so you don't want to get preachy.
No.
And if allowed by their parents, evangelize a little more openly with your grandchildren. You know, reading Bible stories, watching movies about the saints.
Right.
Little things like that will really influence the kids on the way.
You know, seriously. Good thinking.
And the last point they make is know that adult children desire and need our active interest. Our children are still our children, no matter how old they are.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's just a few little points.
That's a good one.
You know, I think our listening audience is probably people more around our age.
Yeah.
You know, and
probably.
Well, I'm not going to say how old we are, but next
week. Did
you
get your Social Security check?
Next week, I'll be celebrating the 20th anniversary of my 40th birthday.
Yeah, oh, golly. Been there and done that, buddy.
Yeah. So what else you got going on over there, Mark?
Nothing. I'm just thinking it's Fat Tuesday.
It is Fat Tuesday, my feast day.
And it, yes, indeed. And it is our obligation to pack on as much as we can in this day.
Well, that is what they say. And, you know, I'm going to recommend to everybody that tomorrow when you get your ashes, wear them proudly.
Yeah.
Don't wipe them off.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen news commentators on national news wearing their ashes. I've seen some of our local news people wearing their ashes. What a great way to evangelize. It just says, look, I'm a Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you think we don't count, but look how many of us there are. If we could get half the Christians in this country to receive ashes tomorrow and wear them all day, it could change the political.
I do have a question for you, though.
I mean,
why is it that you can go a whole day and not touch your forehead, but on Ash Wednesday, after you got your ashes on, the next thing you know, you're looking at your fingers and they're all black, and you've scratched your chest on your white shirt. And,
I think probably we touch our heads a lot and we don't realize it.
Oh.
But I always enjoyed wearing my ashes when I was in my police uniform, and I'd have 20 people say, hey, Chief, you got something on your head.
Yeah.
And I'd say, well, it's Ash Wednesday. And then they'd kind of stop and go, oh, you know, so it kind of set an example that, you know, I'm not afraid to display my faith in public.
Good point.
Yep.
Good point.
So begin Lent then.
Yeah, so what are you giving up for Lent?
That's just between me and the Lord.
Oh, really?
Yeah, how about you?
I'm kind of proud of mine, actually.
Really?
I did some research on it. You're supposed to give up something that's integral and very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes a real sacrifice. And so I've decided I'm going to quit putting soda pop in my cocktails. I'm just going to drink the alcohol on the ice.
Good grief.
Well, it's, hey, have you ever tasted that stuff raw?
I know. That's
without
huge.
Any mix with it? I mean, that's just.
I'm sure the Lord's going to smile upon you.
Yeah,
this
that's what I thought. Yeah. He'd probably be pretty proud because this is important to me.
You know, we're about to run out of time, but I'll tell you a quick joke.
All right, go ahead.
This guy always came into the tavern and ordered two beers, one for his brother who was in Ireland and one for himself.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
He comes in one day. And he says, bartender, he says, just give me one beer.
Mm-hmm.
The bartender says, oh, lad. He said, did something happen to your brother in Ireland?
Well.
And he said, no. He said, I've given up drinking for Lent.
I can see us doing that.
Hey, you know what? We are out of time. We
need
to, we need to close with a prayer, Mark.
All right. What's
a good Lenten prayer? Our help us
memory.
Keep, yeah, our memory. What we're giving up for Lent? The Saint Michael prayer.
Oh, okay.
How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good.
In the name of the Father, and the
Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander about the world seeking the ruin of souls.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be Fat Tuesday to everybody. I know it sounds like Mark and I have been drinking this evening. I promise you we haven't, and we wouldn't on the air.
Not yet.
Enjoy Ash Wednesday tomorrow, Mark. Wear your ashes proudly.
I will.
And I'll see you again next week.
No, you're going to see me Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
We're going on a field trip.
That's right. We'll tell everybody about that next week.
Let's do that.
All right. Good night, all.
Good night.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.